Casino Royale by Ian Fleming, continued. Disc 2. Chapter 8. Pink Lights and Champagne. Bond walked up to his room, which again showed no sign of trespass, threw off his clothes, took a long hot bath, followed by an ice-cold shower, and lay down on his bed. There remained an hour in which to rest and compose his thoughts before he met the girl in the Splendide bar, an hour to examine minutely the details of his plans for the game, and for after the game, in all the various circumstances of victory or defeat. He had to plan the attendant roles of Mathis, Leiter, and the girl, and visualize the reactions of the enemy in various contingencies. He closed his eyes, and his thoughts pursued his imagination through a series of carefully constructed scenes, as if he was watching the tumbling of chips of colored glass in a kaleidoscope. At 9:20, he had exhausted all the permutations which might result from his duel with Le Chiffre. He rose and dressed, dismissing the future completely from his mind. As he tied his thin, double-ended black satin tie, he paused for a moment and examined himself levelly in the mirror. His grey-blue eyes looked calmly back, with a hint of ironical inquiry, and the short lock of black hair, which would never stay in place, slowly subsided to form a thick comma above his right eyebrow. With the thin vertical scar down his right cheek, the general effect was faintly piratical. Not much of Hoagie Carmichael there, thought Bond, as he filled a flat, light gunmetal box with 50 of the Morland cigarettes with a triple gold band. Mathis had told him of the girl's comment. He slipped the case into his hip pocket and snapped his oxidized Ronson to see if it needed fuel. After pocketing the thin sheaf of 10 meal notes, he opened a drawer and took out a light chamois leather holster and slipped it over his left shoulder so that it hung about 3 inches below his armpit. He then took from under his shirts in another drawer a very flat 25 Beretta automatic with a skeleton grip, extracted the clip and the single round in the barrel, and whipped the action to and fro several times, finally pulling the trigger on the empty chamber. He charged the weapon again, loaded it, put up the safety catch, and dropped it into the shallow pouch of the shoulder holster. He looked carefully round the room to see if anything had been forgotten, and slipped his single-breasted dinner jacket coat over his heavy silk evening shirt. He felt cool and comfortable. He verified in the mirror that there was absolutely no sign of the flat gun under his left arm, gave a final pull at his narrow tie, and walked out of the door and locked it. When he turned at the foot of the short stairs towards the bar, he heard the lift door open behind him and a cool voice call, "Good evening." It was the girl. She stood and waited for him to come up to her. He had remembered her beauty exactly. He was not surprised to be thrilled by it again.